One, this is Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I am filling in for Pastor Marcia, who is on vacation with some of her family in Texas. So we're praying she's having a good and safe trip. I saw the pictures on Facebook, so I'm assuming everything is going very well for her. So, again, this is Living the Good Life, radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries out of Clearwater, Florida. We're glad everybody could join us today. I'm joined here in the studio with Nan Watson.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hey, Nan. And we will be joined a little later by Betty, our lovely Betty from Indiana. So we've been going in our studies. Pastor's been doing a series on Free to Live, and it's been a great, great series. And it's so, we've been doing stuff out of John, and we studied last Wednesday, started studying John 15, which is where we're going to be taken off from here in a little while, John chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Now, as I sent out another email to Nan and Betty this morning, oops, I got an addition. So we're going to be going, of course, elsewhere later in the show. But we've been talking about being free to live and some of the things that hinder us, some of the things we need to remember if we are going to be free to live. And it's so, so important to be free, to live. There's so much that hinders us. There's things we do ourselves, things we do, or things maybe people say to us, and just things that have happened to us that bind us up and it just take away our freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. So I wanted to make, I just want to focus kind of on that. And the Lord led me to just kind of hang out a little bit in John 15 and talk about God's love. And I posted on Facebook, I just want to, we're going to be talking about the God's greatest gift of all was in giving his son Jesus. And later on in the show, we're going to talk about what that cost the Father to give up his son, to give his son for us. But just wanted to, again, say hello. And I want to open today with a prayer. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise and glory. Lord, we rejoice in all your goodness. We rejoice in the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, as we approach this resurrection season where we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord, I pray, Lord God, that we would not get lost in all the other things that have been added on. Father, I pray that we would remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us and the glorious victory that he attained when he rose from the dead. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would move upon the ears, the hearts of our listeners, that your word would go forth with power and with anointing, that lives would be changed, Father. Let your word that goes forth be life and health. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to kind of remind our viewers, if you happen to be, and I know we have a lot of snowbirds still down here, but if you happen to be in the Clearwater area, we meet at the, well, it's now the Red Roof Inn on Olmerton Road in Clearwater, not too far from the airport, so stop in after you fly in. But we meet there on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. And what do we do at 6 o'clock, Nan?
Pray, take prayer requests, and pray, take praise reports.
And take praise reports. And we pray the word. We pray out of the Prayers That Avail Much book, just because that's a great guide for us. It's praying the word, and you can't go wrong when you pray the word. And then at 6:30, we have our praise and worship, and we have Bible study. So if you're like me and Nan, you're getting off work, and you may be hungry. It's okay to bring your dinner, right, Nan?
I bring it every Wednesday night.
I sometimes grab something on my way to church too. So we get into the Word, and we have been, praise God, we seem to have gotten all the bugs taken out. But Pastor goes live at 7:30 and on Facebook. So that's been kind of an adventure. We seem to have gotten all the bugs worked out of that, praise God. Also, on Thursday nights, we have...
Go Yard.
Which is?
A live coaching show with Dr. Angel and Mama Mac, Pastor Marsh's other name.
Yeah, Pastor Marsh's alias, I guess. Yes. And I'm sure she's just heartbroken that she cannot be here today for the Rays home opener. But no, she had to go on vacation. So
she didn't time that very well, did she?
No, she did not. I don't know. I'm sure she knew that this was the Rays home opener. But so that's going on. And then also, Pastor does a show in Spanish, which I think is very cool.
Yes.
She's doing that. And that is also on StarCom Network. And it's like, if you go to starcomnetwork.com, we kind of fill up the whole weekend now, because Pastor's show, Go Yard, and Living the Good Life are all on starcomnetwork.com on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Which is very cool. And so that helps us expand our outreach, and we're very excited about that. So again, we are very glad to be on the air today, and I think we'll start with our first song, which is Power in the Blood by Selah.
Power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory?
I love that song, and I love that version by Selah. I believe Betty's on the phone with us. Betty, are you
Hi,
there?
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
How are you?
It's beautiful here, Betty.
It's 55 here today.
Hey, that's not bad for Indiana. Yeah. I remember those days.
Not in April. Not the first week of April. Not bad at all.
That's not bad at all.
Yes, so between 85 and 90 here, the weather's gorgeous. In fact, there's an eating establishment behind the radio station, and went over there earlier before the show and had my favorite French fries.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And enjoyed the outdoors. It was great.
Nan will have to take you there when you're down here.
Yeah, the food is fantastic.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I can't wait. Only 8 days away.
Yay. Ooh. Oh, and what I forgot to mention in the first little kind of announcement segment is on April 12th, we'll be doing our annual Passover. And Betty and Megan don't know this yet, but they're going to be readers number one and two. So welcome to Beacon.
That's no problem at all.
I'm excited. And Nan will be reader number three. So,
okay.
So
thank you for the volunteering of us. We just love you so
much. Welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And I just want to thank both of you. I love being on the radio with you too. So,
well, we enjoy being on with you.
Oh, thank you. So I want to get started in John chapter 15 and starting about verse 9. And I'm in the New American Standard, which I laughingly refer to as the only inspired version. And then Pastor glares at me. So anyway.
Should I glare?
Yes, you can glare
at
me. Make me feel good.
Absolutely.
I'm glaring from afar.
Okay.
There you go, Betty.
Well, it was a toss-up between this and NIV. So, but Jesus said, and this is the instructions that he was giving the disciples on that last Passover. And he says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. You know, when I think about those verses, especially verse 9, that just floors me. I mean, I'm just amazed at the depth of the Father's love. In verse 9, Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide or remain or rest in my love. Jesus is saying there that with the same amount and manner and type of love that the Father loves Jesus, that's how much Jesus loved us or loves us. I don't know about you, Betty, but that just makes my heart jump. I see why he followed it up with, I've spoken these things so that you can have joy. Because that brings joy to my heart. How about you?
Yeah, you know it does. And if I may refer back to the Message Bible, it says, make yourselves at home in my love and keep my commandments. And I think that, you know, that statement alone reveals to me how much God's love goes beyond what anything that we can ever expect or imagine, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's, well, going like what Paul says in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3 when he's, you know, saying another prayer for the Ephesians, that we can know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God, which is beyond knowing. You know, he says that we could know by experience that love because it is beyond knowing. Our finite minds, I don't think, can grasp around this infinite sort of love, which just amazed, you know, it just, you know, I read this and I'm just kind of stunned by it. Because so many times we don't think that we're worthy of God's love. And yeah, in many ways we're not, but we have to remember here the word in Greek is agape, which is, as Kenneth Copeland likes to say, the God kind of love. And it's not emotional. It's based on, it's a decision of your will. It's something that you decide you're going to do, because it's unconditional. That's why it cannot be based on emotion. Because things based on emotion, as you and Nan and I all know, things based on emotions just go back and forth, and, you know, depending on our feelings. But this is an act of the will to love. And Jesus said, I choose to love you. And that's, you know, on some levels, that's kind of scary. Because if God chooses to love me, well, it's like, well, why? You know, I used to wonder why. Why, Lord? Why me? Why do you love me? And what I finally had to do was just say, you know, I may never know why. I just need to rest in the fact that he loves me.
Amen.
Amen. You know, because otherwise, it's enough for me now. He used to not be. But it's enough for me now just to know that he loves me and rest in that love. Because I'm one of those people, I used to think I still had to work my way into God's, you know, into God's love. Even though I knew on one hand, yeah, he loves me. But I figured every time I slipped up, he was going to smack me upside the head. And, you know, I was going to lose his love somehow. And Jesus says right here, nope, that love is eternal. It's the same eternal love with which the Father loves me. That's how I love you. And that's wow. That to me is wow. What do you think, Nan?
You know, there, and we have to, sometimes we struggle with, and we have to fight that in the name of Jesus. That, you know, we like you say, how could he love me? Mm-hmm. How could he love me? You know, and it's just we needed to take him at his word. His word says he loves us, therefore he loves us unconditionally.
That's hard to do.
You know, there are people in our lives that we don't necessarily want to have to love. Well, that's the truth.
Well, that's true. And we're going to get to that in a minute here. But yeah, and sometimes we can't imagine how God could love, oh, I don't know, terrorists or bigots or Democrats or Republicans or whoever, you know, and I know some people think that way, mm-hmm. But it's like right here, with the same love that with which the Father loved me, so I love you. And he, you know, I hear people spouting a lot of hate, you know, well, I can't love them. Well, yeah. You know, love God, love your neighbor. And that's not a choice. It's a command, and it's an act of your will. And you were going
to
say something.
Well, no, I mean, that is so hard to do. You know, you have people in your lives who have treated you improperly, who have just done terrible things, and yet how can we love someone like that? But yet we're supposed to emulate that love just that God has loved us in.
And this is kind of cutting in late to later in the show, but Jesus loved the very people that nailed him to the cross, which physically, of course, was the Romans. Spiritually, it was all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus went to the cross for all of us. So we put him there, and yet he still loved us even from the cross, which I think is a good lead into our second song, which is Amazing Love by Bebo Norman.
This love of Christ shall flow like rivers. So come, wash your guilt away.
And that's what we've been talking about, is God's amazing love. The love that Jesus has for us goes beyond anything that I think we as people can imagine. And going on in John 15, Jesus said in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." There, that whole section is just so great. But this is my commandment, that you love one another. And Nan, you'd said before that song that, you know, sometimes there are people in your lives that are really difficult to love. And I'm not talking about Beacon. I'm talking about just my general experience in all my years of going to church. Some of the hardest people to love are sitting in the pews behind me, you know, or in front of me. But Jesus says right here, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." And he's talking to the disciples. And, you know, sometimes that's hard to do because people in church can sometimes rub us the wrong way. I'm sure that's never happened to you, Betty. Betty.
Wrong.
Okay. Yeah, wrong. Yeah.
The silent one at this point who had never steps up. I think one of the things that God shows us is his character. As a personification of love,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, he loved us. I mean, he created us in his image. And even before we did anything, he loved us. I mean, even before we were born, he loved us. So
right.
You have to remember that love is infinite, that love goes beyond anything that we've done, anything that we will ever do. He will continue to love us. And it's hard to love someone who has persecuted you or who has thrown you under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
For that modern terminology, is that we have to turn the other cheek. We have to be able to say, okay, that kind of action is not from God. And we have to remember that maybe those people were just having a bad day, or they were just angry at themselves, or they were just angry, period. And that's where God's love covers us, you know, with mercy and grace, so that we have that ability to say, okay, God, I have these feelings that are not of you. You know, she just did this to me or just did that to me, whether it's a boss, whether it's a friend, a spouse, whatever, is that we have to have that love that lives inside of us. We've got to stir it up.
Mm-hmm.
And by stirring it up, it's through prayer, asking for forgiveness for those people that sit in front of us in the pew or sit behind us, Lord God, because I know that you love them just as much as you love me. Now, maybe they can have the forgiveness that I have for them inside of them, And it's just, it's almost like a domino effect, don't you think? That once you start showing that your love for Christ, that creates a domino effect, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And in Galatians 5:6, Paul wrote that faith works by love. And, you know, we think about, you know, showing love in the face of opposition. I just read this morning in Acts chapter 16 about Paul and Silas being in jail in Philippi. And what they did, you know, they set free that demon-possessed girl. You know, she got deliverance through the name of Jesus, but then her owners, because she was a slave, got all riled up and had Paul and Silas thrown in prison. And, you know, what are they doing at midnight? Are they, you know, calling curses down upon the Roman government and the leaders of the city of Philippi? No. They're in there singing hymns and praying. And, of course, you know, we know what happened. An earthquake occurred. They and all the prisoners got set free. The jailer was going to kill himself because he was responsible for them all. And Paul says, no, everybody's still here. And at that point, the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? So Paul and Silas preached the word to the jailer and his whole household, and they all got saved. So, yeah, I mean, sorry, that was kind of long-winded. But Paul modeled that kind of love even in the face of severe persecution. Now, he was still loving the next day when he stood up. And, you know, loving others does not mean you don't stand up for what is right. And Paul did. He's, you know, because they wanted to sneak him out of town. The leaders, when they found out he was a Roman citizen, they were in big trouble because you could not do what they did to Paul and Silas to a Roman citizen. So they were going to sneak him out of town. And Paul stood up and he said, no, y'all come and you just walk us out of town yourselves. You know, we're Roman citizens. You're not going to sneak us out of town. So he did stand up for what is right, but he did it in love. And I think that's where some people get off track. Do you agree, Nan, with that? Some people get off track when they're trying, you know, they stand up for themselves, but it is not exactly in love.
I think we all have done that from time to time, you know, stand up for ourselves in situations and not with God's love.
Yeah, and that's easy to do because, you know, if we react in anger, then we're not responding in love. If we react with bitterness or jealousy, then we're not responding with love. And whatever response we have is not going to be what perfectly it could be. So, you know, and the other thing with this section, and this actually popped out at me last Wednesday night when we read it in church, is no longer do I call you slaves, but you're my friends. That's in verse 15. I love that. And all of a sudden, that's a relational thing. Because some people, and I told Pastor on Wednesday, you know, on the one level, we are bond slaves. You know, we're called to be bond slaves to God, which means we give up everything to walk with God. But it goes beyond that because he says, I don't call you slaves, you're my friends. And the slaves may not know everything that's going on in the household, but I bet you the best friends do. And I don't want this to sound sacrilegious, but it's like Jesus is our BFF, okay? But on a level far beyond what you're going to find on Facebook, okay? Let me just say that. But it's true because he says, you're my friends. You're my friends. And that just wowed me because, you know, we sing sometimes a song, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And that's where the song comes from, is right here. So, Betty, what does it mean to you to be God's friend?
His child, his everything. I think it it goes beyond, and I really don't have vocabulary words to describe it, because it's like the Mounds bar. It's indescribably delicious. And you have to, it's hard to contemplate that love. When you sent us the information on what we would be talking about today, I really sat and just pondered what God's love really is. And it's someone who gave their life for us. And I still can't fathom that, Pastor Jim and Nan. I still can't fathom a father sending his son because he loved us that much to be able to die for us. I still, after 20-some years of being a Christian, I still have a hard time. God, why would you do that? What were you thinking? And it's like he said, you have to look at it from a standpoint of he loved us enough. And to love someone enough is okay by me, because we become, when we talk to the Lord, he's like talking to my own father, which I had a pretty good relationship with, where you could tell them anything. I mean, that's what a BFF is. A BFF is your best friend who you can console. They console you. They they tell you, they correct you if maybe you're going about the wrong way. They're everything to you, and that's what God is to us, is that we have to be able to trust him. We have to be able to obey him. We have to be able to receive correction from our Heavenly Father from time to time, because that's what a father does for his children, is he watches over them. He keeps them from harm's way. And it's like, if you could ever sit down and write a letter to Jesus and tell him what his love meant to you, what would you say? And I would have to say, thank you. Thank you for loving me when I was not even lovable. Because we all go through things that can shake us up a little bit, that can cause us to be angry or whatever. But that's what I would say to him, is thank you. Thank you for loving me beyond what anyone else could ever do. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Nan was mean to you to be God's friend.
It's something that I almost basically can't fathom, that, he is my best friend. I was reading through my journal earlier this morning, where I've written a lot of stuff. And that was in one of the things that he really spoke to me. I wrote down and said, you are my friend. I'm like, wow, cool. I'm a friend of God. I love that song. I'm a friend of God.
Yeah. And, I think it jumped out to me. And, I've been reading this for over 40 years. So don't give up, Betty. It only gets better. So, but it's like, this just jumped out at me. And that's one thing I love about the Bible. I mean, seriously, I've been reading the Bible since October of 1973. So, oof. Every time I read through it, though, something new just pops out. And this is one of the things that's popped out this time, is being a friend. I mean, I know about being, a servant and a child. But friend is a different relational sort of thing. Yes, God's my father. He's kind of, he's my daddy. My papa. And he's also Adonai. He's master, and I'm his servant. But my buddy, my friend, that just jumped out. And that's a whole new, I guess, relationship sort of thing to look at. Because, and that's why I love, there's so many facets to our relationship with God. And one of the points I wanted to make here was, so many people just don't feel like they're worthy of God's love. And the next verse, verse 16, is, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. And then he repeats the command in verse 17, this I command you, that you love one another. But Betty, you mentioned this earlier. He chose us. And I love the little thing the Amplified adds in there. Actually picked us out as his own. And that, you know, that kind of stunning too. You know, and some people say, well, yeah, I, you know, came to know Jesus on this date, or I chose to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, no, you didn't. I chose you. We responded to that. And I think it's, I'm just beyond thankful that Jesus chose me and, you know, appointed us that we could go out and bear fruit. We've got a job to do, and that's to bear fruit. And the fruit that we bear is, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians chapter 5. But also we bear fruit. Here we're talking about kind of prayer fruit. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. You know, the Father will do for you. And that's like our prayer line, you know. We've gotten some praises back even this week, which is, you know, praise God. That's just incredibly wonderful. I'm so happy about that. So, you know, that's the other kind of fruit that we bear are people getting prayers answered, people getting saved, coming to know Jesus, and finding out, you know what, God chose me too. You know, that's a wonderful, that's a really incredible thing. And that I love it. I chose you and I gave you a job so that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. This isn't just temporary fruit that may spoil on the vine. This is eternal fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those are eternal fruit. And as we manifest that fruit, then we begin to see the people around us change. And, you know, if I'm loving, if I'm peaceful, you know, people say I'm pretty peaceful at work. And that's what impresses them, is I'm calm in the midst of so many storms. You know, I've flown off the handle a few times. But, you know, in general, people see the fruit and they're attracted to it. People see the life of God in you and the fruit that it bears, and they're attracted to that. They want to come and know that. And Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So we again, bear that prayer fruit, which is really, really incredible. And it's all based on what Jesus did for us at Calvary. So I want to now play the song God of Calvary by Chris Tomlin.
The final breath.
Great song by Chris Tomlin, and it's so true. And I just want to remind our listeners that that's what Jesus did for you, because he loves you, because of his great love. He gave himself on the cross at Calvary, and we're going to talk a lot more about that the rest of the show, and how God, you know, told us this was going to happen. A lot of times, and we do this at Christmas, and we like to do it at this time of the year also, talk about not a quirk of God, but the Father likes to tell us what he's going to do, as Pastor says, then do it, and then remind us that he's done it. And, you know, Jesus going to the cross was prophesied back in the garden. It was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah over 700 years before it happened. It was prophesied by Zechariah. All these things about Jesus' life and death and resurrection were prophesied by David, by the prophets, and that's why it's so amazing that, to me, that sometimes people just don't see what's right in front of them. You know, of course, you know, I can say that now, because for a long time I didn't see what was right in front of me either. But I got to thinking today, you know, General Lew Wallace, who wrote the novel Ben-Hur, two movies have been based on, at least three, I guess. He started out trying to disprove the existence of Jesus. And as he studied the Old Testament, the prophecies, and saw how Jesus had fulfilled all those prophecies, he not only got saved, he wrote a book about it called Ben-Hur. So, you know, that's why it's important, I think, to look at these things, to look at the prophecies, and see how Jesus fulfilled them, because that's one of the ways God gets our attention and says, look, I told you this was going to happen. Now it's happening. Now go talk about it. And, you know, I look at this as, I look at like the prophetic stuff about Jesus' birth and death, resurrection, as a real faith builder, at least it is for me. And, you know, I always make this quote that one in 10 quadrillion of just like 8 major prophecies for the Messiah to fulfill is 1 in 1 quadrillion. And Jesus fulfilled, of course, you know, way, way more than that. But just 8 major prophecies. The chances of any one person doing that are just beyond belief. The odds are greater than the total number of humans that have ever lived on this planet, which is convincing enough to me that it had to be Jesus. Who else but the Son of God?
I like when you tell how the amount of zeros there's after that one. Can you do that?
I think it's like 12 or 14. It's an amazing number. And Betty, you'll get to be in on that at Passover, because we, you know, in the service itself, we point out a lot of the prophecies about Jesus. So I'm so looking forward to that.
Oh, I am too. You know, as just listening to the song and then listening to what you've been talking about, is, you know, you look through, you know, the Old Testament, where all a lot of the prophecies came from, and you look through the entire Bible, and God is laying out and has, and even back then, Pastor Jim and Ann, laying out a roadmap, so to speak, to prepare us for the soon coming King. And we, you know, even as we look through the New Testament now, is that he talks of a new coming, you know, his coming back. And again, he's preparing us for what lies ahead and what is going to happen. And I think that makes us want to be more alert, makes us want to be more like him.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were talking about with yourself, is, you know, people see something different in you. And they see a friend. They see a friend in you, and they see a friend in Nan. It's because that light, that person that we're talking about, this man, Jesus, he lives in each and every one of us.
Right.
And it's amazing to me how you can call, we call ourselves Christians, but yet we don't act like them. We don't love our neighbor. We don't love as Christ wants us to love. And that's where we get hung up in, oh, well, you know, he doesn't care what I do. Yes, he does. He loves us. He loves each and every one of us the same. Again, what we were talking about earlier, no matter what we've done, no matter what we've said, he still loves us all the same. And, you know, that alone is Jesus himself, mm-hmm. is that he loves us. He loves you, Pastor Jim, and he loves Nan. And the neat thing about it is he loves us all the same. He doesn't have a favorite. We're all his children, and that's what makes it so special.
Right, and that is, to me, an impetus to pray for other people. I posted something on Facebook that Dr. Michael Brown, had written on Charisma Magazine. I posted that. Sometimes I'll post his stuff, sometimes not, but this was a really good, good article about our real enemy is the devil and his angels. And, you know, not the Democrats, as he put in the article, but not the Republicans, not the gays, not the straights, not the blacks, not the whites. Our real enemy is Satan, and we need to remember that. And,
amen.
You know, I'm going to make a really bold statement here, but, you know, God loves Muslims as much as he loves me. God loves the Jewish people as much as he loves me. And that, you know, people need to remember that. Yes, there are some wackadoodles all around, but God loves them. Jesus died for them as much as he died for me. And I think some people lose sight of that in their anger and their bitterness toward terrorism. And I get the anger. I understand. I'm not minimizing that. But I think we need to remember Jesus died for them as much as he died for us, and we need to pray for them, because that's the biggest weapon we have against terrorism. It is not military. It's Bible. It's spiritual. And I've often said this. I believe World War II was not won on the ground. It was won in the heavenlies, because I believe there was a core of people praying for our victory over that demonic spirit that was over Europe at the time. And that's where I believe the victory really came. Yes, we were militarily greater, but so much could have been different. And I believe people interceded. That was even before I was born, but I do believe people interceded during that time. And I think that's what we need now, is not people depending on, oh, I'm starting to preach, people not depending on their government to get them out of a mess, you know, to protect them. Yes, that's what government is supposed to do. But we as Christians, and I'm kind of preaching to myself too, we need to remember where the real power lies. It's not in Washington. It's the throne of God. And we need to get before that throne and intercede for our country, to intercede for our enemies, because that is what is going to stop it, is when revival breaks out, that's what's going to stop all of that. And that's really what God's calling us. Two is...
Yeah,
go ahead, Betty.
Pastor, it says in our Word of God that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what has called this ministry to be a praying ministry and a outreach of Harvest Hands to be able to pray through the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations that we go through ourselves and as a nation. So, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly, but we always have to remember that our battle is not against each other. Our
right.
battle is against principalities and powers.
Right. Amen. Amen. That's so true because, you know, we have an invisible enemy. It's not the visible ones that, you know, we need to remember. The visible enemy is motivated by the invisible enemy. And that's where the battle needs to really start to take place. And like in that song, God of Calvary, you know, by his blood, I've been set free. We've been set free. We've been redeemed. The victory is ours because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's kind of where I want to spend this, you know, good part of the second hour is talking about what Jesus did on the cross, its importance for us individually and its importance for the world. I want to talk about how God pre-announced it through the prophets. Because there's no doubt that Jesus was, you know, the sacrifice, the Messiah, which is a wonderful thing. So as we're coming up to the top of the hour, I can't believe an hour is almost gone already. How amazing is that? I have to say, every time I'm on the radio, it's like, wow, you know, it's almost an hour gone. And it's funny, when we went from 90 minutes to 2 hours, people were saying, well, how can you fill up the time? That's never been a problem and will never be a problem. Trust me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as I like to talk. So, and talk about Jesus is one of my favorite things to do. So just a quick reminder, this is Living the Good Life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We meet in Clearwater every Wednesday night. We call it The Gathering at 6:30 at the Red Roof Inn. Can't miss it. It's right there on Olmerton. Very conveniently located, actually, for both St. Pete, Pinellas County, and Tampa, except when there's a wreck on the Howard Franklin Bridge. Normally, it's an okay, you know, it's okay. Nan does that travel, so.
I do that travel.
Yes. So, but yeah, and just want to remind everybody, stay tuned, because we're going to be on for another hour. So,
well, you know, we...